Begin the current daf, Masechtas Becharis daf Yud. Begin on the bottom of Tesma Beis, 8 lines up in the bottom of the Yamud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, we had inferred from the halacha of our Mishnah, which said that if someone has an animal that didn't have its first child yet, and it had a male and a female, now we're not sure if the male was first and therefore chayiv and petach hamor or not, so he has to separate a sheep, but he can keep it for himself. Because of mitzvah mechabel of raya, but he has to separate it. Why? Because obviously to remove the prohibitory status from the petach hamor, which the Gemara infers, obviously the town of a Mishnah held, that the petach hamor, the firstborn donkey before it's redeemed, is prohibited to have benefit from it. Which the Gemara says is like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Shimon, because that's their machlekes. Rabbi Shimon says it's permitted to have benefit, and Rabbi Yehuda holds it's prohibited, and the Gemara discussed whether from logic or from psukim, for the basis of their machlekes. And that continues the Gemara. Amar Ravi says, Rabbi Shimon agrees, La'acha Arifa. If let's say he does not redeem the firstborn donkey, and rather than the processes that he has to then decapitate he has to cut off the head of his firstborn donkey, then Rabbi Shimon would agree, Shu Aser, that then it is forbidden to have benefit from it, and one is not allowed to go ahead and feed it to his dog. Says the Gemara, my time, what's the reason, says Rabbi? It's because Gama Arifa, Me'egla Arifa. Learn that Gzeir Shava from the halacha of decapitating, from the laws of the decapitated calf, which the halacha is when they find a person dead on the road, they don't know who killed him. The closest city has to bring this calf that gets decapitated, which that calf is forbidden to have benefit from it after it's decapitated. Like the pasuk says, Shum, it should be over there, which means that's where it should be buried, no one should have benefit from it. And therefore, we apply that same halacha to the, here where it also talks about decapitating, that after the petach hamor is aruf, that then it's forbidden to have benefit, and even Reb Shimon is going to agree to that halacha, although he says before it's redeemed, it's permitted to have benefit. Moreover, Omer, and the Gir says, Rabbah says, Munanamila, where do I know this? How could I prove this idea that I'm saying Reb Shimon agrees that after it's decapitated, that then it's forbidden? The Tanya, like, learn the Braisa. And it goes to the Braisa, from there, he'll prove this point. The Braisa says, Ha'arla, regarding the forbidden fruits of a tree in its first 3 years since it was planted, or the Klehakerim, or the forbidden fruits that are planted, grain in a vineyard, which then the fruits are prohibited to have benefit. So to Vashar Haniskel, which is specifically talking about an ox that had gored and killed and therefore has to be stoned, if such an ox was slaughtered after the verdict was handed down, but before it was actually stoned, because the concept we're trying to say here in this braisa is that it doesn't have any of the other tumah, but what we're going to describe regarding tumas eichon of food items, so it doesn't have yet the tumas nevela. Had it really been stoned, it would have been tummy for a different reason, because it was nevela, but it wasn't stoned. It was slaughtered after the Gemara din, so it has the halacha of like a shar niskal. Vegla rufo, or the decapitated calf, which here also we have to be talking about that it wasn't yet decapitated. Rather, it's talking about that it was slaughtered after it came into Nachal Esan, which is the valley where it was decapitated, which the halacha is that already makes it forbidden. It already has that prohibited status of having benefit from it, but it's not in the veil yet. Rather, it was slaughtered after it already became forbidden. Or Vitzipar Mitzaira, which the Gemara Kedushin of Nanzayin Manav says that the birds that are used in the procedures of purification of Mitzaira is forbidden to have benefit, which that's all the categories we're talking about over here, are things that are Asabana, Upetach Hamor, or regarding the firstborn donkey, which here also we're told by that it was slaughtered, but it was still Mefacheses, it was still shaking, so therefore, until it totally dies, it doesn't have Tumas Nevel yet, because that's again what we're trying to point out, all these cases are Asbana, but it doesn't have any other Tumma yet, and it doesn't have the Tumma of Nevela, but we're going to talk about, but let's say if a Sheretz touches it, then it's going to be susceptible to Tumas Eichon of food items, which the relevancy of that is, what I mean, you can't have benefit from it. And anyway, is that if that would go ahead and touch other food items, it would make a tummy where even though it's mefarcheses, even though it's shaking around, the Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Zayin Mabei says that if someone slaughters a non-kosher animal for a non-Jew and it's mefarcheses, so although it's not totally dead, it's already considered a food item, because such a situation of the slaughtering of a Jew would go ahead and generally work. So here it's considered a machshava, a thought for this to be a food item for the non-Jew, because the equivalent of such a slaughtering would work by a kosher animal. So although it's not in the veil yet, but it could be having tumas eichon because it's considered a food item because it was slaughtered. Or another interpretation, Rashi actually says, you could even be talking about, no, literally, it was that the petach hamor, the firstborn donkey, was decapitated already, where it's a nevela. But still, it would be relevant to halacha, this Bryce is talking about, that it will, tereshev tumas eichon, when we tumas eichon, have his most severe tumah of nevela, is, for example, if let's say that there's less than an olive-sized piece of the donkey, where it's not fit to have the tumah of nevela, because it has to be the shiva kezayis, That's what we're saying, but it could combine with some other food items that are less the size of an egg, and then this piece will be mashkim l'kabeya, but that would only be if it had tumas oichel, not just tumas nevel. It continues the braisa or basam chalav regarding the forbidden mixture of meat and milk. Kula mitamas tumas oichel. All these elements, all these food items, they will have a halacha of food items where if, let's say, something of tummy touched it, it will become tummy tumas eichlin, where, as we said, although they themselves are anyways forbidden to have any benefit from them, but the relevancy of it is if they would touch other food items, it would make those other things tummy. Now, Shimon, he says, no, kulon ein mitamma tumas eichlin, all these cases that we just described, they will not have the halacha of tumas eichlin because they are forbidden to have benefit from them. But he agrees by the case of meat and dairy that were cooked together. There, it will have the halacha of food item to have the halacha of tumas eichlin, if let's say a dead cherub touches it. Since it had an opportune time of when it was considered food item before it was cooked, so although now it's considered a forbidden food item, but already had the halacha of eichel that it can be metabel tumas eichlin to contaminate other things. But Amr Basir Rabbi Yechon says, "My time of the Rishon. What's the reason, Rishon? Who cares that it's forbidden to have benefit from it? Why should that prevent it from having tumas eichlin? In contrast to the Tanna Kamma." So he says, "Because the chesiv, the pasuk says, 'Im vayikra mikol ha'eichel asher ya'ochel,' from all food items that will be eaten. That's what the pasuk says over there. That if water is going to come on it and then something tummy is going to touch it, it's going to become tummy. But that what does it mean? Kol ha'eichel asher ya'ochel. That teaches it has to be an eichel, a food item, shatu yochel la'achil lachem, that you can at least feed it to others, mean to non-Jews, that is not forbidden to have benefit. Then it's kara eichel, then it's considered a food item that can be susceptible to tumas eichel. Shiyatu yochel la'achil lachem in the kara eichel, but if you can't feed it to others, even to non-Jews, it's not called a food item. And here all these cases that were described, since they're forbidden to have benefit, so therefore you can't even feed it to a non-Jew, and therefore it's not going to have the halacha of tumas eichel according to Rabbi Shimon. Now, on that continues Rabbah, as we continue on top of Yudam and Aleph, and he says, wait, there's a difficulty first. Ihach, if that's the case, like Rabbi Yochanan said, that the reason of Rabbi Shimon is because it's forbidden to have benefit from it, so then, Bas B'chalav, regarding the case of a mixture of cooked dairy with meat, my area, the Hoysla Shasakesha, why does he have to say that there will have Tumas Eichel, because at one point it was a food item that could be eaten before the milk was cooked with the meat? Typically, the eichel shati yochel lechil acherim. What do you mean? It's sufficient to have tumas eichel because, according to Rabbi Shimon, you could feed basa b'chalav to a non-Jew. The time like learn the brisa. Shimon ben Yehuda, I'm a mishum Reb Shimon. He holds basa b'chalav asa b'chila. You're right. Not allowed to eat a forbidden mixture of meat and milk, but a mutabana is permitted to have benefit from it. You could feed it to a non-Jew. Shenema, because he learns the pasuk says nevarim ki am kadosh ato l'Hashem lekecha. Pasuk says, because you're a holy people to Hashem, your God. And that's the pasuk that says over there in Devarim Yudalad, L'savash agedi b'chalevim, I don't cook a kid in its mother's milk, which is the Isra of Basa B'chalav. And use the terminology of Kiddush in that pasuk. U'lahal no'emer, and then there's a pasuk in Shemayis that says, V'anche kodesh tiyunli, and holy people you should be for me, which also use the terminology of Kedusha. And that pasuk is in Shemayis Chav Beis that says, U'vasa basa de trefel le'isachelu, it's talking about the prohibition of eating an animal with a mortal defect that was torn apart by another animal. Now, so we compare, both of them says the terminology of Kaddish. Malahal, just like over there by the laws of Trefa, Asa Bachila, it's forbidden to eat it, but Umutabana, it's permitted to have benefit from it. Like the pasuk there concludes, it says, like Caleb Tashlichan, I say, you can throw it to the dogs could eat it, you can have benefit from it. So Avkan says, Reb Shimon, so also over here by Basa Bachalov that says the terminology of Kaddish, Asa Bachila, yeah, you're not allowed to eat it, but Umutabana, permitted to have benefit. So that itself then should be a reason why Shem Thomas Eichel, why does he have to say, because at one point he was able to eat it, even if he can't, but it's Mutabana, so it doesn't have the problem of Mikol Eichel Asher Yachel. So you're right, Chadav Eid Kama. He said one reason, and then there's another one. Chada, first of all, he was saying that there is the Eichel Shatu Yachel Lechil Achem. You're right, that he didn't say that a reason, but yeah, first of all, it's going to be permitted, like it was inferred, obviously, from the criterion Reb Shimon said, that yeah, you could feed it to others. Basa B'chalav is permitted for benefit. You could give it to a non-Jew. But V'Eid, he wanted to add on even more. That Lid Deinami, that even for the Jew himself, Hari Heisel Shasa Kaisher, there was an opportune time for even the Jew to eat it. And therefore, for sure, it's considered Eichel. And he was adding on that extra svar. But you're right, of course. It's anyways going to have Tumas Eichel because right now it could be fed to others. Now, in contrast, the case of, let's say, the Shar HaNiskel or the Egla Rufa, there was never Shasa Kaisher even beforehand. Why not? It was a regular shar or calf that could be eaten. Because it was never had, when it was slaughtered, already had the prohibition of it was already Nachal Esen, already had the Gemara Din. And before it was slaughtered, a living animal has a Cheskes Isser, Nala Ida Eva Menachai. So they never had opportune time, whereas over here, the piece of cheese or whatever it was, the sliced meat was already permitted to be eaten. And therefore he was saying two svaras. But you're right, of course, it would also qualify for Tumas Leichon simply because it could be fed to a non-Jew. That's the discussion from this brisa. Concludes Rabbo, now, ve'im Isa. Now, if it would be the case, the la'acha arifa, that even after the donkey was decapitated, Sharib Shimon, like we had said, his opinion of the previous daf, he held Petach Hamar, the firstborn donkey, is permitted to have benefit, even before it's redeemed. And if you think that would always extend even after he doesn't redeem it, let's say it's decapitated, that it would hold it's permitted to have benefit, so in Lisni, the Brisa should have said, Umayd Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon agrees not just to one of the cases, but he should have agreed that this Tumas Leichon be'petach hamar by the firstborn donkey, ubas b'chalav, and by a prohibited mixture of meat and milk, shematamas Tumas Leichon, that they both have the Tumah of food items. Why? Because petach hamar could also be fed to others. Because who cares? You're allowed to have benefit from it, even after it's decapitated, because you can feed it to a non-Jew. Because you're allowed to have benefit from it. Obviously, that you're not allowed to have benefit, and therefore wasn't mentioned. And so it cannot be fed to others, because you're not allowed to have benefits, you can't feed it to a non-Jew. Says the Gemara, no, it's not a raya. Either chashav alav, if the owner thinks about it, that he wants it to be eaten, hachinami, you're right. Then it would also be mekabel tumas leichon, because he's thinking, okay, let's feed this to a non-Jew. It's a food item non-Jews would eat, a dead meat of a donkey. Hachamai skin, but says the Gemara, what are we talking about over here in this price? Is the leichashavalei, where he didn't think regarding this decapitated donkey that he wants it to be eaten. Therefore, it wasn't included in the cases that Reb Shimon agrees to, because generally, no one eats meat of a dead donkey. And therefore, it's not considered an eichel until one would actually have a machshava for it to be eaten. And therefore, it's not counted. Whereas bas mechalav or a cheeseburger or whatever it is, it's something that people would normally, a non-Jew would eat. Therefore, that's automatically going to have tumas eichel in the contrast to the case of the donkey. But really, it could be that it would if a person would have thought about it, because maybe we could actually say that it is going to be mutar bano even if the donkey was decapitated. But that is the Gemara. Well, the way you're rejecting the ray of Rabbo, then matame rabbanon. So that understands Reb Shimon, but then the rabban who disagree with Reb Shimon and say that it's going to be tame, because they said all these cases the Tanakhama said that it's going to be tame. So the case of petach hamar, so then why is it going to be tame? If a person didn't think about it that he wants it to be eaten, and you're saying it's not normally eaten, so why do they say that it's going to become tame of tumas leichon? It's not a food item. So Amru Rabban the Kamei Rav Sheshes, so the rabbi said in front of Rav Sheshes to answer the question that Hayel v'isurai, because since there's the prohibition that the Torah said that you're not allowed to go ahead and eat this meat of the dead donkey, chishuvai, that makes it considered as if it's a food item. Because if the Torah is saying it's forbidden for a Jew, obviously it's something that would be eaten by a non-Jew. And it's saying, but the Jew's not allowed to eat it. So from the fact of the prohibition, actually, Rabban held that it is considered automatically a food item, and therefore, even if the person did not think about it, it will be considered eichel according to the Tanakhama, and therefore, that's why it's going to be kabbalatama. On that as the Gemara, Ul Rabban and Mi'amar, Hoyl v'Isur Cheshuvah, do the rabbis really hold to this concept that you're saying that since it's prohibited, therefore it's considered already automatically a food item? From the fact that the Torah says a Jew can't eat it, therefore it's automatically a food item for a non-Jew? But what's not? Learn the Mishnah Masechtas Torah as follows. There was 13 distinct halachas that they said regarding the dead body of a kosher bird. I mean, it wasn't slaughtered. A kosher bird that was not slaughtered, and therefore it's a nevela. And v'zu achasmen, this is one of them, as we're going to say right now. That what? Tzricha machshava. For the dead bird to have a tumah of food item, in let's say a case where if a dead sheretz touches it, it needs to have a thought regarding it. Where if, let's say, afterwards it's going to touch some other kosher food items that this dead bird will make a tummy, as long as the person did not think about it, that he wants it to be eaten, it's not going to have the halacha of tumas maga that a dead sheretz had touched it. Why? Because actually, a nevela of a kosher bird, it's not like the nevela of a regular animal which contaminates right away. It actually only contaminates when the person's eating and it's in his throat at that time. When it's in his throat at that time, then it actually even contaminates him and even the clothing that he's wearing at the time when he swallows. But up until then, it doesn't have any tumma, intrinsic tumma. So the tumma of eichel for it to have would only be if a person thought about it and says, hey, let me go ahead and feed this to a non-Jew. So it needs machshava to be considered a food item to be susceptible to tumma. But ve'in etzicha hechsher, it doesn't need, as classically a food item needs to be prepared and be susceptible and vulnerable to tumah by coming in contact with one of the seven liquids. Here it doesn't need that. Why? Because since ultimately the ve'la oiftar has in it a stringent tumah that it could be contaminating even a person and his clothing if he would eat it. So the Gemara increases of Chafal of Manav says that the whole halacha that we learn regarding that it has to have hechsher mayim beforehand is from a pasuk that says v'chayutun mayim. If water is going to fall on the seeds, so why is it talking about seeds? So the Gemara increases explains, just like seeds are distinct, that they're food items that are never going to have a stringent tumah. Food items never contaminate Adam, Kalim, so they need hechsher. So to anything that's not going to end up having a tumah chamura needs to have hechsher. But here, where the nevela iftar is going to end up having a tumah chamura of bimitama adam and kelim when it's in the person's throat, so you don't need heksher, because the whole halacha of heksher only applies by the lesser types of tumas like food items, and so too regarding the laws of machshava. So that's what the Braisa says. That's what the Mishnah says. This halacha on that asks the Gemara, but ve'i isur chishuva. But if, like you just described, that the prohibited status of it already makes it into a food item. So lamali machshava. Why do you say that the nevela iftar needs to have machshava to make it into food item to have tumas eichlin? What do you mean? A nevela iftar, the Torah says, is forbidden for a Jew to eat a dead kosher bird. It has to be slaughtered. So why do you need a machshava to make it into eichel? So it's the Gemara, no hamani, Rabbi Shimon. Who's the tanya of this Mishnah Torah? It's Rabbi Shimon. He doesn't hold the visur chishuva as we just mentioned before. He holds that since you didn't think about it, so it's not a food item, and therefore it's not going to have tumah. But a chama who hold that is going to have tumah is like we said, because he's surich yeshuba. So the Mishnah says, okay, Toshma, let's bring a different raya. Mishnah says, uktzen. The Mishnah says, nevelas behema temeya b'chal makim, regarding the dead carcass of a non-kosher animal, wherever it is. Now, regarding the nevela of a non-kosher animal, generally it's not eaten, because it's disgusting. Moreover, it has two rejections from being considered kosher. First of all, it wasn't slaughtered. And one, it's a non-kosher species. So to the nevelas eiftar, same thing applies to the nevela of a kosher bird. The achelev and the fats of a dead kosher animal. Bikfarim, in villages specifically, where they're poor and they don't usually eat birds and fats. So tzricha machshava. So regarding a nevela behema, wherever it is, or nevelas eiftar and chelev in villages, so you would have to have a thought regarding it and saying, hey, what am I going to do with this? I can't eat it. Oh, let me go ahead and feed it to a non-Jew. Then it's going to be considered as a food item because he's thinking that it should be a food item to mekabel tumas eichlin. But if not, it's not going to be tamat tumas eichlin. Now, Rashi asks, however, regarding the first case of nevelas behema tameya, why does it need tumas eichlin? What do you mean? It's automatically a dead animal which has tumas nevela. It contaminates other mekalim for sure food items right away. So that he says, like the Gemara says, increases over there in the Chafal of Manav that we mentioned, that if there's less than the kezias of this non-kosher animal, which will not have tumah of nevela, but it doesn't have a measurement, but it could combine together with other food items that are less the size of an egg, if he's going to think on this less than the kezias for eating purposes, then it will combine with other food items to supplement for the sheva kebeya, where then if it touches the sheris, then it's going to become tummy. And the rest of the words of Rashi is brought down that it wasn't in the old text of Rashi, and there's difficulties with Rashi says there at the end. But one thing is that we're saying regarding these types of food items, you have to think about it to make it into food item, and to be mekabel tumas eichlin. But ve'inim tzrichim hechsher, they don't need, again, as classically, you need to have hechsher to make it susceptible by coming in one of the seven liquids. These things don't need hechsher, because since ultimately there was a severe tumah when it was a complete zayis, when it was still connected to the nevela, where when it was part of the nevela of the metameya more than the kezias, and so too by the iftar, and so too the chelev of part of the dead animal. So then, it doesn't need to have a heksher, like we said. Anything that's related to tumah chamura doesn't need heksher, because it's not like seeds, which never has tumah chamura. But one thing says the Gemara, v'yamret isuri chishuva, if you say that the prohibited status of it already makes it automatically into a food item. So lamali machshava, again in this mission we have the same question. Why do you need a machshava to make it into a food item? What do you mean? Behemet tmeya, nevela seiftar, these are things that are prohibited. So it's already a food item. Why do you have to have machshava? Says the Gemara, ha'amani, Rav Shimon here also, what are you going to say that the time of the Mishnah Nuktzin is like Rav Shimon who doesn't hold to this logic, but the Rabbanan do hold isuri chishuva. So the Gemara continues asking Toshima. From that Mishnah in Uksin 2, the Mishnah says over there, "Nevelas behemet tahira b'chal makam," that This time we're talking about regarding the dead animal that's kosher, wherever it is. Now, generally, a dead kosher animal is usually used for being eaten by non-Jews, because it's not so disgusting. Moreover, even regarding a Jew, it's only rejected on one element, because ultimately it's kosher, it just wasn't slaughtered. So therefore, there you don't need to have, as our Mishnah is going to explain, a machshava to make it into a food item to mekabel tumas eichlin, to then combine it with less than the kezayis for less of a kebeah of eichlin. You don't need to do that. So meaning for that, it will already have automatically, it will be able to combine less than the kezayis for the halacha of pachas kebeah of eichlin, because it's already automatically considered a food item. So therefore, although obviously nevela itself has the tumah, but we're saying less than the kezayis will combine with less than the kebeah of other eichlin, but that's automatic. So to v'nevelas oif hatar v'achelim, the dead kosher bird that wasn't slaughtered, and the fats of a slaughtered animal, b'shvakim, here we're talking about in the marketplaces of the cities, specifically, where there's many people and there's wealthy people, and they normally eat over there many birds and fats. So here we said, in a tzich machshava. Here they don't need to have a machshava to make it into eichel, because it's automatically assumed that people do eat this. And moreover, v'lo hechsher, it doesn't even have to be prepared to be susceptible to tumah. The reason for that is because the case of nevela of behemah and oif is because they contaminate a severe tumah. The behemah is automatically, the oif is when it's going to be swallowed. And the fats of a slaughtered animal in the marketplace is because since it was already hechsher by the shechita, why? With the blood that comes out when it's slaughtered, because like since we said, since you don't need to make a machshava into a food item, so the food items are going to become susceptible to the tumah by the blood that comes out at the time when it was slaughtered. So that's the halacha over there. Now the inference is, okay, that was owned by behemah tahara. Like we explained, that's not so disgusting. It's not so rejected. It's already automatically a food item. Hatameh. The inference is, but the nevela of a non-kosher animal, which is actually the case that we mentioned before, but what's going to be important from here is the inference, is by machshava. Is okay, then you would need to have a machshava to make it into food item. And what? And we wouldn't say that the fact that it's prohibited, what's called isuri, would be chishuva, would make it automatically into food item. Now, if you're going to say the chitema, okay, like we answered before, Haman Reb Shimon, who's the Tana over there in Uktzin, is Reb Shimon. And he's the one that doesn't hold the isuri chishuva. The problem with that is, but Haman the Sefer Reb Shimon, but the fact from the Sefer of this Mishnah is Reb Shimon, Reisha Lav Reb Shimon must be the Tana Kama. The first part is not Reb Shimon, because the Tani Sefer learned there at the end of that Mishnah that Reb Shimon Aimer, he's coming to disagree with the Tana Kama. He says, Afa Gamal, Var Nevis, Var Shafin, Var Chazir. Also, all these animals, the camel, the swine, the Arnevis, and the Shafin, in the Tzuchin, Loi Machshav Lehechshir. He says that those cases also, they are considered like in this area like a kosher animal, and they don't need a thought process to make it into a food item. They don't need to be prepared to become susceptible to Tumah. And V'Amar B'Shem, he says, Matam, what's the reason? Well, it's not a kosher animal. Why is it the same halacha? However, yesh ben simoni tahara, because ultimately, it is similar that it has at least one of the simoni tahara. All those cases either chew their cud or have split hooves. So therefore, they can have the same halacha that they don't need hechshir and they don't need machshava. Now, but one thing is, says the Gemara, from the fact that Reb Shimon's adding on cases in the Sefer, the inference is that the Reisha is not Reb Shimon and it's the Rabbanan. And obviously that they don't hold Isuri Cheshuvai, because if you held Isuri Cheshuvai, then like we said, then the case of Tameah should also not require, why is it only saying Behemet Taira? Even Behemet Tameah should not require Machshava. Oh. So if that's the case, so then we're going back. So then regarding the case of Petach Hamor, which we said according to Rabbanan, that it's going to be Tameh, why is it tamei? Obviously, then it must be because you had a machshava that you want to eat it, because they don't hold isur chashuv like we're pointing at right now. And then, if that's the case, Rabbanan, so then even in that case, Rabbi Shimon says going to be tar. Why is it going to be tar? Must be because only a food item that you can't feed to others, because if it's a food item that you can't feed to others, which is this case, that Rabbi Shimon agrees. Because after the Arifa, which is this, the point of Rabbah, that it is Asr. So the Gemara is back to the proof of Rabbah. Not like we have rejected. No. Either Chashav Le'achinam. You say, Ha'chamaskin Le'ach Chashav Le'ach. Says the Gemara, no. We're obviously talking about the Chishav Le'ach. And that's the reason the Rabban, the hold, is going to be Tameh. It must be, even the Chishav Le'ach, that Rabbi Shimon holds, is going to be Tar. Why? Because Asr Ba'na, you can't feed it to others. It's Eicha She'atachil Le'achirim. It's Asr Ba'na after the Arifa, like Rabbah had contended. So Elam or Rabbah, rather, Rabbah says a different interpretation to reject the raya of Rabbah. And he says, no, you're right. The kulam aloy minit isur chishuv, as we just pointed out right now, no one says that the fact that it's prohibited already automatically makes it the food item for non-Jews. Even so, says Rabbah, Their machlokes was when there was no thought to eat this the meat of this dead donkey. But still, we don't hold like Rabba. No. So the question is, and then what's the reason of the Rabbanon that hold that it's going to be tummy? What makes it tummy? You never thought you wanted it to be eaten. And you're not saying Yisru Cheshuvai. So it says Rav as follows. So it says, V'ide arfi mi'arif. If this calf was decapitated, Hachanami, then you're right. The Rabbanon would agree they would not have Tumas Eichon because you didn't think about it and no one usually eats the dead meat of a dead donkey. Now, however, as we continue to the days, V'hachamai skin says, Rav, what are we talking about over here? It's Kigun Sheshachatoy. This Petach Hamor, this firstborn donkey, was slaughtered. Now, if it was slaughtered with the intention of being a bona fide slaughtering, then the truth is, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that that slaughtering would already make it like a machshava, like as if I'm thinking that this should be a food item, and it would be makabel tuma. The only thing is, the case that we're discussing that they disagree about is when the slaughtering was with the intention of lehislamid boy, that it was just to practice for to learn the laws of shechita on this donkey. Because anyways, no one's eating this donkey. It was regarding such a case that they disagree. The Rabbanan held that this slaughtering will make it into a food item like a bona fide slaughtering does according to everyone. As the Gemara says in Chulnaf Kofid Zayin Mabez, when a Jew slaughters a non-kosher animal for a non-Jew, as we mentioned this idea before, oh, that makes it into a food item to Mekabel Tuma because it's like a machshava that this should be eaten. Now, however, Rabbi Shimon held that, yeah, that's by regular bona fide slaughtering. But here, when you're doing it just to learn the halachas, that's not considered bona fide slaughtering, and therefore that's not going to qualify as machshava, and therefore it's not going to be kabel tuma in this case of petach hamar. Which says the Gemara, says Rav, b'plukta the nimus v'reb elazer is the girsa. That this disagreement is regarding the following machlokes tanoim, the Tanlik Linda Braisa. Amr B'Yisi says, Sachli Nimus, achav shel Bishu Hagarsi. Says Nimus was his name, the brother Bishu Hagarsi told me the following halacha. Shashaychit esa oriv l'islamid boy, if someone slaughters a raven, non kosher bird. But he's doing a slaughtering on it. But just to learn the halachas of how to slaughter. Dame machshir. So the blood of the raven, if it falls onto some seeds, which is one of the seven liquids that can make a food susceptible to tuma, will make it susceptible to tuma. Now, for sure, if they were doing a bona fide slaughtering on the raven bird, which, because we're slaughtering for non-Jew to eat it, then the blood actually would make it susceptible even for the body of the raven itself. Because slaughtering is considered machshava, that I want this to be a food item to be eaten. But he told me that was l'slamid boy. So it's going to make other things susceptible to tuma. Rabbi Eliezer, he says, dam shechita l'oila machshir. The blood of something that was slaughtered will always make something susceptible to tuma because yad shechah dam. Dam is one of the things that is can make things susceptible to tuma. Now, Rabbi Eliezer is specifically talking about something, a blood of something that was slaughtered. Because let's say it wasn't slaughtered, but rather the pipes were ripped out, then right, even Rabbi Eliezer would not disagree, because most definitely then it would only work to be machshir other things with the dam, because yeah, it is dam, but it wouldn't work for the raven itself, as we're going to point out shortly, because it itself is not makabel tuma unless you're thinking about it that you want it to be eaten, which that would only be when you're doing a bond, but when you're doing somewhat of a shechita, not when you just tear out the pipes, that's not a shechita at all. But one thing the Gemara asks first is Rabbi Eliezer and the Tanakhama, aren't they saying the same thing? Aren't they saying that when you slaughter the raven, the blood can be machshir? Says the Gemara, Elulav, rather isn't it what it's talking about, is Isur Chishuvai. Now Rashi qualifies, how is this the same idea, what Rav is trying to say, is the Machlokes, Reb Shimon and Rabbanan, is that the prohibited status, together, what you have over here that it's prohibited, that makes it considered a food item, together with such a type of Shechita, which is just to learn how to do the halachas, but it's also in combination with that, and that's the important feature, that's it. But now, that's the difference between them. What's the machlokes? Tanakama savor that Nimus held, damei machshir la'ama. Yeah, he said that the blood of this raven that was slaughtered to learn the halacha is going to be machshir, but it's going to be machshir for other things, if it falls onto seeds. Avala gufe, boi machshaba. No, but for the body of the raven itself, it needs to have a thought process that it's going to be eaten. Because, like we said before, Isur Cheshuvai, just the prohibited status itself, doesn't make it into a food item. Now, it's only together with a slaughtering, but here this is not really considered a bona fide slaughtering to consider to make it into a food item. That's Rabbi Eliezer was coming to say, no, dam shechita lo'oila machshir, the blood of something that was slaughtered will always prepare. What does it mean, always? That even the raven itself, it will not need a special thought to think that I want this raven to be eaten by a non-Jew, because even this slaughtering, which is just to learn the halachas, is also considered a slaughtering to make it into a food item. And therefore, that's what Rabbi says. That's the machlekes that we mentioned before. The Rabbanon alek Rabbi Laza, and Rabbi Shimon is like Nemus. And therefore, that's the same machlekes that we said regarding is this shechita going to be considered a bona fide shechita or not? That's their machlekes. So that says the Gemara, Mimai. How do you know this to be that this is their same machlekes? Dilma time of the Rabbi Yezah Hasa, maybe the reason of Rabbi Lazar over there is the Shani Ayriv. Yeah, Rabbi Lazar says, like you pointed out, that even the Ayriv will be considered prepared, even if it's a shechita l'islamid bay, that's going to make it into a food item. But maybe because that's the Shani Ayriv, he's talking about a raven over there, it's different. Why is it different? In a raven, it has some of the signs of a kosher bird, as the Gemara says in Chulin Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis. So therefore, it's going to be considered a food item when you're doing even a shechita l'islamid bay. In contrast, how are you going to compare that to the lachas of Reb Shimon and the Rabbanon regarding a petach hamor, where a donkey has no kosher signs? If you didn't go ahead and think regarding that you want it to be food item, because of this slaughtering, maybe actually the Rabbanon would not hold that would make it tamei. Now, if that would be the case, so then Reb Shimon, that means to say that even when you did think about it, because that means to say that the Rabbanon have to be talking about that you did think you want to be a food item, he would still be disagreeing. And the reason is because since it's forbidden to have benefit after it's decapitated, that's exactly like Rabba then. So we're back to the question that we're rejecting what Rabba is trying to interpret, that this is the same machlokes, because maybe it's not the same machlokes. Maybe you never find that a shechita l'islamid bay goes out and prepares it. When we find that Rabbi Elazar says that it's going to prepare it, it's specifically a raven, because it's a kosher, it has some kosher signs. As the Gemara says, Ubenolim de simoni tar milsi, and how do we know that the fact that some kosher signs is significant to able to make it susceptible to tumma, even without a machshava, meaning just the iser and the fact that you're doing this subpar shechita? There's a ktani, Allah dahi. Like we learned in this price we mentioned before when we talked about a nevela of a kosher animal that we had quoted at Omer B'Shem, and he says, matam. What's the reason I'm adding on all these cases of the gemal and the arneves and all these cases where it's going to have tumas eichlin? Well, it's not a kosher animal, so why is it automatically considered that you don't need to have a machshava and heksher? So says Reb Shimon, yesh boy simoni tara, because it has some signs of a kosher animal. Here too, the ayur of the raven also has some signs, and therefore it's not a proof to Rava to explain their machlekes. We never find anyone that says a subpar shechita can make it into something that's susceptible to tumah. It's only by ayur that we find that. Now, v'chitam, and if you're going to say, wait a second. So then, imishum simoni tara. Then, if it's like we're saying, rejecting the rejection of Rava, we're going back that it sounds like that it is like the way Rava contended. That we obviously could prove that Reb Shimon holds that after the Arifa, it's asbana, and the reason is because this whole halacha of the machleik is nimus and Rebbe Elazar is specifically regarding because the Erev has simoni tara. Then mayir l'islami. Then why they talk about a case of when the shechita of the Erev was to learn the halachas? Afilus asignami. Then even if the intention was not even for slaughtering at all, it was just intending to cut, and it was just preoccupied, and he wasn't intending to do any slaughtering at all. Then the halacha should even be over there in such a situation because it has nothing to do with the shechita. You're saying it has to do with the fact that because it has simoni tara. Says the Gemara in Chanami, you're right. That even there, that Rabbi Elazar would hold that it would have already the halacha of Tumas Eichlin. But Mishum Nimus, it's only because of the opinion of Nimus to show the strength of his opinion that he was holding that even when there was somewhat of a slaughtering, at least to learn the halachas, that's at least considered more significant of a slaughtering than when you're Mesasik, when you have no intention at all. Even so, we're saying that he would hold that it's not going to make it a halacha of Tumah because he holds that it has to be a bona fide Shechita. Now, even though it has simoni tara. But one thing is that we have then resolved the interpretation of Rabba that it is a proof that Reb Shimon does hold that after that rifa, although he holds before it's redeemed, it's permitted to have benefit, after that rifa would be asr b'hanah. But Esve, the Gemara continues asking, Abaye asked on Rabba, who again, he says that Reb Shimon agrees that after it's decapitated, it's forbidden to have benefit from it from the following b'raisa. The b'raisa says, Loi rotz lef d'aisa. The person doesn't want to redeem his firstborn donkey, which he then takes a sheep and gives it to the kohen. He doesn't want to do that. So halacha is, so there's a different halacha that happens, that he has to decapitate the donkey, this firstborn donkey, with a large knife, because that's how you usually decapitate. And you do it ma'achayrev from the back, meaning from by the back of its neck, as the pasuk says, va'raftai. And then v'kaifet, then you bury that dead donkey, v'asabat, no, it's forbidden to have benefit from it, that's Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Shimon Matar, Rebbe Shimon says, permitted. You see clearly a refutation of Rabba that even after its decapitation, Rebbe Shimon says it is permitted to have benefit. So Amos says the Gemara no say in this Brisa that umichayim asbana. When Rabbi Yehuda was saying it's forbidden to have benefit, he was talking about when it was still alive. Before it was redeemed, then when it was alive, it's forbidden to have benefit. Rabbi Shimon Mata, and that Rabbi Shimon was saying, no, it's permitted, which is their old machlekes that we mentioned before. But when it's dead, it's actually forbidden. But ask the Gemara, but from the Sefer Mechayim Hava, but from the fact that the end of that brisa is talking about when the donkey was alive, so Reisha Lav Mechayim, obviously the Reisha is talking about when it's not alive. Because the Tani Sefer, we learned there at the end of the brisa, it says, Lo Yimisenu, you're not supposed to kill this donkey, Lo Yimisenu, not with the reed, Lo Yimagel, not with a sickle, Lo Yimikardin, not with an axe, Lo Yimagira, not with a knife that has many indentations, which is what a saw is. Neither do you put the donkey into a room and you lock the door so that it should just die from starvation. No, you're supposed to, again, like we said, decapitated with a long knife. Continues the Braise. And this donkey is forbidden to shear the wool and to work with it, which is obviously toma when it's alive, because you could only work with it when it's alive. That's to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Mati says permitted. So if they have this machlokes regarding when it's alive, if you have a benefit in the Seifa, so obviously their machlekes in the Reisha is talking about when it's dead, when it had the Arifa, and still Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter. Says the Gemara, no, Reisha is Seifa Mechayim. Both the beginning of the Braisa and the end is talking about when it's alive. Because like we said, when it had the Arifa, even Rabbi Shimon would agree it's Asabana. So why do you say it two times? Reisha is Banaz Damav. The Reisha was talking about the benefit he could have from the donkey when it's still alive, from its monetary value. Meaning, if let's say he's renting it out to other people. And Sefer, Banaz Gufay, the Sefer is talking about having benefit from the body itself, like shearing the wool and working with it. Utrichem, we have to say both cases. The Itan Hanaz Damav, had we only said regarding the benefit of its monetary, Bahukashari Reb Shimon, I would say maybe only with the Reb Shimon agrees that you'll have benefit from it, because you're not really benefiting from the animal itself, it's just by renting it to someone else. Banaz Gufay, Eimim Oid Reb Yehuda, but regarding the benefit from the body itself, working with it and shearing it, I would say Reb Yehuda, that he would agree to Reb Yehuda that it's forbidden to have benefit. I forgot to say Hanaz Gufay. And Vitan Banaz Gufay, had we only said the case of benefiting from the body itself, by he costs Rabbi Yehuda, I would say maybe only the Rabbi Yehuda says forbidden to have benefit. Abanaz dam of Eim and Meidler Rabbi Shimon, but having benefit from its monetary value of, let's say, getting rental money from it, then I would say he agrees to Rabbi Shimon that it's permitted to have benefit from it. Tzricha, therefore, is necessary, and therefore it's not a refutation of Rabbah. Now, it continues the Gemara, V'chein Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbah Bar Avuah, that he also says like Rabbah, that Meidler Rabbi Shimon, Lach Arif HaShu Asa, Rabbi Shimon agrees, although he says that before it's redeemed, permitted to have benefit from it, after it's decapitated, forbidden to have benefit from that firstborn donkey. And Vamar of Nachman, he says, where do I know this from? Because the Tanya will learn the Braisa. Says in the Pasuk, Va'rafta, you should decapitate it. So, Nemekan Arifa, it says over here by Petach Amar, by the firstborn donkey to decapitate it. V'nem Lahal, and says over there by the Egla Rufa, Arifa also decapitated. So, Ma Lahal and Asa, just like over there, it's forbidden to have benefit. After it's decapitated, Afkan Asa, also over here, it's forbidden to have benefit. Now, Mani, who's the Tanya of this Braisa? Elam, Rabbi Yehuda, everything is Rabbi Yehuda. Mechayim Esa Aser. What are you saying that after it's decapitated, it's forbidden to have benefit? According to him, it's forbidden, like we said in the previous staff, even when it's still alive, before it's redeemed. Elalav, Rabbi Shimon, the obvious is Rabbi Shimon, and still, when it's after it's decapitated, he agrees that it's forbidden to have benefit from it. To which Amalei Rav Sheshes said to Rav Nachman, Safa Chavach Tirguma. No, Safa, your colleague, he interpreted this Braisa, that La'olam Rabbi Yehuda, it's no Raya, because you could say the time of this Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda. And Be'itzach still was necessary to say, although it's already forbidden when it's still alive, that's forbidden when it's decapitated too. Why? Yehuda thought to say that since Arifa b'makom p'diyomedes, the equivalent, instead of redeeming it, is the decapitation of the calf. If he doesn't want to redeem it, he does Arifa. So then you would say the following logic. Ma p'diyah matera is just like when the firstborn donkey is redeemed. Then after it's redeemed, everyone agrees, even Rabbi Yehuda, that then the donkey is permitted to have benefit from it. So I would say, Afarifa Matera, so to the decapitation actually permits it not to have benefit. Kamash Mlan, therefore that was the necessity of saying, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that it's still going to be forbidden to have benefit. But again, it's no Raya to Rav Nachman. So rather, Amar Rav Nachman, he says a different proof. He says, Mona Minila, where do I know this, that even Rabbi Shimon agrees after the Arifa, it's forbidden to have benefit? The Tani Levi. From the fact that Levi teaches the following Braisa. Levi explains the logic of the Alocha of Arifa's Petach Amar. Who hifs in Mamayna Shal Kain? The owner caused a loss to the monies of the Kain because he didn't redeem it with a sheep, as the Torah says, ideally that should be done, to give that sheep to the Kain. So Lefikach hifs in Mamayna, so therefore he's going to have a loss on his money now, where the courts then force him after 30 days, as explained later on the parak, to go ahead and decapitate it, and now it's forbidden to have benefit of it. Now, Mani, who is the Tana of this Braisa? Elam Rabbi Yehuda, if you think it's Rabbi Yehuda, Hamifsit for Kai. What do you mean? He already had lost this donkey a long time ago, because even though it's still alive, it's forbidden to have benefit. What would he be saying that it's causing a loss now that it's decapitated? Rather, obviously, it's going like Reb Shimon, and that obviously after it's decapitated, Reb Shimon agrees that only then does it become forbidden to have benefit, because now is when he suffers the loss. Says the Gemara, no. If you want, you could say the Bryce like Reb Yehuda. If you want, you could say it's like Reb Shimon, and still it's no Raya to Reb Nachman. Why? If you want, you could say it's like Reb Yehuda. Because, what do you mean, he couldn't have benefit even when he's still alive. What's he losing now when he's decapitated? Oh, he did lose. Afsida de beini beini. The loss is about the difference in price. Meaning, when the donkey was still alive, even though you're saying it's forbidden for him to have benefit, but he could have redeemed it with a sheep that's even worth a small amount of money. Now that it's decapitated, he lost it all. So it is causing a loss for him, even now when it's decapitated. If you want, you could even say it's like Reb Shimon, and even so, we could say that Reb Shimon would hold it's actually not forbidden a benefit even after it's decapitated. So then what's the loss of money when it's decapitated? It's simply lepchas misa. The loss is the deficiency of death, because when it dies, it loses value, because when a donkey's alive, it's worth a mana. After it's dead, it's only worth a dinner, because now it can only feed it to his dogs. So although, yeah, you could have benefit in both before and after, which is disproving the raya, but it's still causing a loss when it dies, and therefore it's no raya to Rav Nachman. But the Gemara continues, V'chein Amar Rish Lakish. So the Rish Lakish says, like Rav Nachman and Rabbah, that Maid Rav Shimon La'achar Rif HaShuaser, Rav Shimon agrees after it's decapitated that it is forbidden to have benefit from it. But Rabbi Yechanan, Vitam is some say Rabbi Lazarmer, that no, Adayni Machlekes is still a Machlekes, Rabbi Shimon disputes Rabbi Huda even after it's decapitated, that's still going to be permitted to have benefit from it even after the Rifa. Now, Ikad Amasni Lalahadra of Nachman, that those who learned this teaching of Nachman that we mentioned before, that he said that Rabbi Shimon agrees after it's decapitated, which we have said that then it's going to be forbidden to have benefit, that he actually learns it aha, on the Mishnah, the following Mishnah Masechtas Kedushin. Mishnah says, someone takes his firstborn donkey and he gives it to a woman and says, you're going to be betrothed to me, you're getting engaged to me by me giving you this value of this firstborn donkey. That ain't mukadashus. She's not engaged because it's forbidden to have benefit from it and he's not giving her anything of value. Says the Gemara, Lema masni like Reb Shimon. Shall we say that this braisa is not, this mission is not like Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon says it's permitted to have benefit from it. So it does have value. So obviously this mission is not like Reb Shimon. Oh, and that is what Amr of Nachman, Amr Rabbi Barvui says, no, it's Toma La'acha Arifa. What did he give her from this firstborn donkey? After it was decapitated. Oh, but Divya Kol, and that's even like Reb Shimon, who he agrees that after it's decapitated, it's forbidden to have benefit, and therefore even he would agree that Ein Mukadesh is, because he's not giving her anything of value. Now, Ikadami, that those that say that initially what they had said on this Mishnah Kedushin is that Hamani, who's the Tana of this Mishnah, lo Reb Yehuda v'lo Reb Shimon. Not only not like Reb Shimon, it's not like any Tana. Why? Reb Shimon, if it's like Reb Shimon, so then the question was Tikdash Bekule. So she should be totally engaged with the entirety of that donkey, because as we said before, Reb Shimon's opinion is that the whole donkey is permitted to have benefit from it. And the question was even stronger according to this version, that Reb Yehuda, and even like Reb Yehuda, Tikdash, but she should at least be engaged. You're right, it's forbidden to have benefit, but b'hach de beini beini, there's still value in this donkey. What's the value? You can't benefit from it. The value is, but she could go ahead and redeem this donkey with a sheep, and the donkey is worth much more than the sheep. So he is giving her something of value, as we had said this in the previous daf. So therefore the question was on that Kedushin even stronger, it's not like any Tana. On that, I'm a rabbi barvu, I'm a rabbi, he says, no, lo'olam Reb Yehuda. You could say that the time of the Mishnah is even like Reb Yehuda. U'kugoyin she'en eshava el eshekel. However, the value of the donkey was not worth that much. It was only worth a sella. Where now, there is no baini baini. There is no value more of the donkey over the sheep. Because the sheep that she would have to give to the kohen to redeem that donkey would also have to be worth a shekel. So she wouldn't be getting any value with this petach amar. Because of a sovla, because he holds a kibis b'yehuda. The time like learn the braisa. Tifta tifta. It says two times in the Torah, u'petach amar tifta b'sev, that the firstborn donkey redeemed with the sheep. Why say two times? To teach two halachas. First of all, tifta miyad, that it can be redeemed immediately, even within 30 days. And tifta kolshu, it can be redeemed with any amount of money. That's the Tanakh. Basically, Yehuda, I mean, he says, no ein pediyah p'chusim ishekel. Redemption is not less than a shekel. And therefore, there's no baini baini. And therefore, even according to Yehuda, that there is not going to be any value that is giving to her. And therefore, the halacha mekadosh b'petach amar in the Mekadeshes was according to either opinion, as we said in the Gemara, which was another interpretation of this teaching of Rav Nachman, that everyone agrees, even Reb Shimon, after the Arifa, that it's going to be Asabana. Now, once we introduced this halacha, says the Gemara, Omamar. So the Gemara explains this price. Tifte, tifte, says two times, redeem, redeem. which the Tanna Kamma says, Tifta Miyad, you can redeem it right away, and Tifta Kolshu, you can redeem with any amount. So the question is, Pshita, obviously, why would we think otherwise? Says the Gemara, Itzrach, it was necessary. You would have thought to say, the Pasuk equates the Peter Chamar to the firstborn son. Like the Pasuk says in Bemidbar Yudches, it says, Ach padi tifta, however, surely you should redeem as bachar adam, the firstborn of man. And it says, Vesbachar behema tamea tifta, and those are the firstborn of the non kosher animal, which refers to the donkey, should also be redeemed. Oh, so therefore we would have made the following comparison. Ma bachar adam, just like the firstborn son, the redemption is achar shloishim, is only after 30 days. Like the pasuk says, if a duyim ben chaydish tifta, is only redeemed after 30 days. Moreover, v'chamish, this five slum that has to be given to the kain. So Hainami, I would say also over here by the Petach Amar that Achash Shloish and Mechamish, it can only be done after 30 days, and one has to give the coin five slum. Kamash Malan, that's what the Brisa, the Tanna Kamma is teaching, that no, Tifta Miyad, that first of all it says redeem, it could be right away, and Tifta Kosher, redeem, it could even be even with a small amount. Now, the Brisa continued, and Rabbi Yisrael Yehudah says, no, Impediyah Pechusa Meshekel, which we had explained one interpretation for that previous mission, Masechtas Kedushin, like Rabbi Yehuda, who's going like this opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, that there wouldn't be any Beini because that donkey was worth a shekel, and also the redemption he holds of the sheep could only be, it can't be worth than the value of a shekel. So on that, the Gemara asks, but Malav Shach, on his opinion, well, either way you look at it, where does he get this opinion from? If he gets this stringency because he's comparing it to the firstborn son, then Chamish Lebay should require five shekelim, not just one. And the Eloi Makish, and if he doesn't compare it, then Shekel Menoli. How does he know you need even a shekel? Why would he not hold like the Tanna Kamma? That could even be a small amount. Says Gemara Loilim Loi Makish. No, he doesn't compare it to the firstborn son, because then, yeah, it would require five shekel. Rather, Amar Rav, he says, because Amar Kra, the Pasuk says in Meyikra, V'chol Erkecha Yi B'Shekel HaKadosh, that all your evaluation shall be with the holy shekel, which teaches us, Kol Erchen Shat Demayrach, any evaluation that you're making, which would include also the redemption of the Petach Hamer with the sheep, L'Yi B'Chusim B'Shekel can't be less than that of a shekel. But Rabban, who they disagree, and they say that, no, the sheep could even be a small amount, they say, Ahu, that Pasuk that you bring, as we continue to have a B'Rav Manav, Behesig Yad Ksib. That's by a different halacha, when someone says, Erki Yolai, May Erich is Ami, which the Torah gives certain evaluations of people's value based on gender and age, in that one has to give to Hektish based on that laws of Erichin. And let's say the person doesn't have that amount of Erichin to give to Hektish what he had taken that vow. So the Pasuk says in V'yukachav Zayin, Al Piyashit Tasig Yad HaNoidi Erichin HaKoin, according to what the person could afford, that one who took the vow, so the Koin will evaluate him. Now, after that, the Pasuk says, V'chol Erkecha, etc., which comes to tell us that even when we said that, okay, if it doesn't have the amount, so then we evaluate how much he could afford on the sliding scale and how much he will give, but that's what's saying, lo yerechen ha-koin, the koin will not evaluate less than a shekel. At least a shekel he's got to give. But less than that, then we're not going to evaluate him to give at least that amount. It's regarding that that it says has to be a shekel. Regarding Pidyon Petach Hamar, they hold that's that Pasuk wasn't referring to that, and therefore they disagree, and they hold that then it would even be able to be less than a shekel. Like they said, Tifta would even be able to be kosher, even the minute amount.